The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed in this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal. Hi there. It is July 21st, 2026, and today I will be reading Diabetes Update. Our first article is entitled Stress-Induced Diabetes, a Review, from the National Library of Medicine. It has long been established that stress has a significant impact on metabolic function. Type 2 diabetes may be initiated by psychological and physical stress. The central and peripheral nervous systems are both involved in the neuroendocrine framework that underlies the underlying process. The release of catecholamines and a rise in serum glucocorticoid concentrations caused by psychological stress enhance the requirement for insulin and insulin resistance. Experiencing persistent hyperglycemia in people with diabetes may be influenced by stress. Blood sugar levels may rise due to hormones being released in response to stress. Although this has adaptive significance in a healthy patient, in the long run, it can cause insulin resistance and lead to diabetes. Additionally, diabetes may cause abnormalities in the regulation of the stress hormones. Every individual gets affected by stress, which is a human reaction. The human body is designed to be able to sense stress and react to it. Stressed responses help our body acclimate to unfamiliar situations. Stress can keep us alert, inspired, and ready to avoid danger. Stress cannot be measured objectively by testing. Its presence and intensity are only discernible to the individual who is experiencing them. It frequently causes agitation, dread, exhaustion, and frustration. An individual could experience physical exhaustion, weariness, and an inability to cope. The biological reaction known as stress can be triggered by any intrinsic or external stimuli. The fight or flight response, which includes a variety of catabolic, anti-reproductive, anti-growth, and immunosuppressive processes, is momentary and geared toward survival. By extending their length, contributing significantly to human illnesses, and serving as a triggering or exacerbating factor, chronic stress can make these consequences harmful. Additionally, lifestyles associated with stress, sedentary life, and unhealthy diet patterns cause increased weight gain, an abnormality associated with glucose and lipid catabolism. Pathogenesis and causes. Stress can be acute or chronic. Both can cause a wide range of side effects, but chronic stress can have bad long-term effects on one's health. Glucocorticoids, or GC, and catecholamines are the main hormonal response to stress. These hormones do not cause side effects in the acute phase, but in the long run may lead to disturbed glucose homeostasis. This disturbed glucose homeostasis can lead to chronic hyperglycemia, thus leading to insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. Effects of glucocorticoids on the body's metabolism. Glucocorticoids act by stimulating gluconeogenesis and causing the depletion of glycogen. It inhibits muscles and white adipose tissue from absorbing and using glucose, making hyperglycemia the most prevalent and quickly manifesting side effect. Chronic stress can gradually cause leaner body mass loss, insulin resistance, and visceral fat accumulation. glucocorticoids antagonize metabolic actions of insulin. The primary regulator of glucose uptake is the glucose transporter type 4, GLUT4, which is seen in muscle and is stimulated by insulin. In the presence of glucocorticoids, GLUT4 translocation to the cell surface in response to insulin is blocked, resulting in a reduction in the skeletal muscle's ability to absorb glucose, causing increase in blood glucose levels. In white adipose tissue, glucocorticoids boost lipolysis to produce glycerol, which is a precursor of gluconeogenesis, allowing the accumulation of non-esterified fatty acids within muscle cells, again causing decreased glucose uptake by interfering with insulin signaling. This leads to decreased utilization of glucose and causes a hyperglycemic state in the body. Corticosteroids also prevent cells in the pancreas from producing and secreting insulin. Effects of the sympathoadrenal system on the body's metabolism. Chronic stress can lead to increased sympathoadrenal system activity, which causes reduced glucose tolerance and an increased chance of having an acute cardiovascular event. Infusing catecholamines leads to increased glycosis, increased glycogenolysis, as well as an increase in gluconeogenesis, and can cause suppression of insulin-mediated glycogenesis under physiological circumstances, leading to hyperglycemia and hyperlactamia. Excuse me. Please excuse my sneezing. Activating adrenic receptors, or AR, epinephrine and norepinephrine lead to insulin resistance. The hormone-sensitive lipase is activated by the B3AR in adipocytes, which encourages the buildup of free fatty acids and the corresponding rise in mitogen-activated protein kinase, or MAPK, activation, and ceramide formation. Ceramide leads to increased insulin resistance by preventing protein kinase B, or PKB, from functioning. As all the above processes cause increased insulin resistance in tissues, they indirectly cause the development of type 2 diabetes in these patients. Type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is insulin-dependent diabetes, mainly due to underlying autoimmune pathological mechanisms. It occurs mostly at a young age with sudden onset and positive serological autoantibodies test. The autoantibodies cause damage to pancreatic cells, mainly B cells of the pancreas, leading to decreased insulin production by them, causing type 1 diabetes. Thus, it requires insulin therapy as treatment. In type 2 diabetes, the underlying cause is insulin resistance. It tends to develop in older age groups. It is mostly associated with obesity, and it can be reversed with lifestyle and diet modifications. In comparison to type 1 diabetes, type 2 develops slowly over a period of time. Diet, exercise, and oral medications are the main line of treatment for type 2 diabetes. Stress and diabetes. It is indeed evident that prolonged stress and obesity create a vicious cycle that ultimately results in metabolic dysfunction. The development of insulin resistance is a result of this metabolic dysfunction. The hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, or HPA, axis and the sympathoadrenal system have a significant role in mediating the stress response. In order for the host to survive during periods of high stress, evolutionary preserved responses such as an insulin resistance and stress hyperglycemia are produced. Stress leads to the development of stress hyperglycemia in all vertebrates, including fish, worms, and insects. the central and peripheral neurological systems, bone marrow, white and red blood cells, and the, oh boy, reticuloendothelial system are among the tissues that use glucose most extensively and are non-insulin-dependent cells. In animal models of hemorrhagic shock, the injection of a hypertonic glucose solution increased heart function, blood pressure, and enhanced survival by promoting angiogenesis and anti-apoptotic pathways. Acute hyperglycemia may prevent cell death following ischemia. Both in vitro and in vivo research have demonstrated that cardiomyocytes exposed to an insulin-free media with high glucose concentrations are resistant to pathological insults such as ischemia, hypoxia, and calcium overload, indicating that acute hyperglycemia represents an innate defense mechanism. In addition to these, stressful hyperglycemia gives the immune system and brain a source of energy at times of stress, injury, and infection. So from the above discussion, we can say that acute hyperglycemia during times of stress can be beneficial for the body and is a part of the evolution of the body. But when there is chronic stress in the body, this leads to the development of insulin resistance due to multiple factors, including chronic hyperglycemia, thus leading to type 2 diabetes in patients with chronic stress. Symptoms and signs of type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes, also known as type 2 diabetes, can have a range of signs and symptoms. These include increased appetite, frequent urination, thirst, exhaustion, impaired eyesight, slow healing wounds, recurrent infections, numbness or tingling in the hands or feet, and regions of darker skin, mainly in the armpits and neck. Diabetic patients have high blood glucose levels, but they have a starvation-like metabolism state because the blood has plenty of glucose available, but the cell cannot utilize that glucose to the development of a pathological condition known as insulin resistance in patients. So the body starts ketone body production and utilization, leading to a fruity or sweet odor from the mouth, as well as positive ketone body test in urine, which may be present. Some modern tests like glycated hemoglobin, HbA1c levels, and ketone body tests are very helpful to diagnose patients of type 2 diabetes having the above symptoms. Treatment modalities. Although you can't completely eliminate stress, you can prevent it from becoming too much by using simple daily techniques. It is very crucial for the doctor to encourage patients to get involved in good physical activities, thus decreasing stress. It has been found that physical activity has a role in stress management and also has an anxiolytic and antidepressant effect. The patient should be encouraged to change their lifestyle and diet, which can be a significant factor for reducing stress in patients. Patients can also follow various relaxation techniques like deep breathing, meditation, yoga, etc. Sleep constitutes a very important part of our lifestyle. It has been found that lack of sleep can lead to an increase in stress in patients. Depending on the difficulties you encounter in life, stress can either be a short-term or a long-term problem. You may prevent the majority of the physical, emotional, and behavioral effects of stress by regularly adopting stress management practices. Numerous studies have linked potential stress, both physical and emotional, to the emergence of type 2 diabetes. Stress has become a part of daily life, which causes many problems in the body's metabolism. Stress leading to hyperglycemia is an evolutionary process helping the body to go through an acute stress phase, which has been proven in several studies, especially in animals. These stress-induced changes can be very beneficial in an acute state. But when it comes to long-run effects, it can lead to various side effects on the body's way of metabolism. Chronic stress-induced hyperglycemia, along with other mechanisms, cause tissue-level insulin resistance, thus leading to type 2 diabetes in patients with chronic stress states. This leads to various complications in the body and can sometimes be life-threatening. Preventative measures like stress management therapy should be used and encouraged. Patients should be advised to take meals with more fiber and fewer calories and fat. Lifestyle modification also plays an important role in stress, as well as diabetic management. If patients fail to control blood glucose levels, they should be started on oral hypoglycemic drugs. If oral hypoglycemic drugs do not cause any significant decrease in blood glucose levels, patients should be started on subcutaneous insulin therapies. Diabetic control is very important to prevent its side effects and sometimes life-threatening complications. As a physician, it is very important to take a good history of a patient and find if the patient has any stress history, which can be a significant underlying cause of hyperglycemia. Our next article is entitled, DASH Diet Modified for Diabetes Lowers Blood Sugar Levels in Clinical Trial of Adults with Type 2 Diabetes. From Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Health. A modified version of a diet known to lower blood pressure is also effective at lowering glucose in adults with type 2 diabetes, according to a clinical trial led by researchers at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. The study builds on the DASH diet, dietary approaches to stop hypertension, developed in the mid-1990s by an interdisciplinary team of researchers supported by National Institutes of Health funding to address high blood pressure in the general population. The DASH diet emphasizes fruits, vegetables, and low-fat dairy products and is low in saturated fat and cholesterol. To understand the DASH diet's impacts in patients with diabetes, a team led by Johns Hopkins researchers modified the diet for people with type 2 diabetes. The DASH for diabetes, or DASH for D diet, is similar to the DASH diet, but lower in carbohydrates and higher in unsaturated fats. The research team also reduced potassium levels in the DASH for diet to improve safety for individuals with chronic kidney disease. A new study published in Nature Medicine found that the DASH for D diet helped participants with type 2 diabetes control their glucose levels. For the study, 89 participants with type 2 diabetes ate prepared meals at a clinical research center for 20 weeks, half of the time on the DASH for D diet and half on a standard diet modeled after what U.S. adults typically eat. Participants' blood glucose levels were measured using wearable continuous glucose monitoring, or CGM, devices. The new study, named DASH for D CGM, found that when participants consumed the DASH for D diet, they had a clinically meaningful reduction of average blood glucose level and an increase in average time spent with blood glucose in the recommended range compared to when they consumed a standard diet. Participants eating the DASH for D diet had blood sugar levels that were on average 11 milligrams lower than when eating the standard diet, and they stayed in the optimal blood glucose range for an extra 75 minutes a day. Both effects are considered clinically meaningful for people with diabetes, as they may lower risks of heart disease, kidney disease, and other long-term adverse consequences of diabetes. The researchers hope that the results will lead to incorporating the DASH for D diet into clinical guidelines and improve type 2 diabetes management in the broader population. The original DASH diet has long been recommended for people with diabetes and other health conditions due to its effectiveness in lowering blood pressure, but this is the first time a controlled study has shown a significant improvement in glucose control as well, says study senior author Elizabeth Selvin, PhD, MPH, director of the Welsh Center for Prevention, Epidemiology, and Clinical Research, and professor in the Bloomberg School Department of Epidemiology. Larger improvements were seen in participants who had higher blood glucose levels at the start of the trial, says Michael Fang, PhD, MHS, an assistant professor also in Bloomberg's School Department of Epidemiology. For those with the highest glucose levels, HbA1c above 8%, the DASH4D diet increased their time in the optimal blood glucose range by about 3 hours per day, a very significant benefit. Diabetes and hypertension are widespread in the U.S., largely because of unhealthy diets high in animal fat, sugar, and salt. An estimated 35 million Americans have type 2 diabetes, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Several large clinical trials have shown that the DASH diet, which limits meat, sugary and salty foods, and sugary drinks, and is rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, is effective in reducing high blood pressure. The DASH4D CGM study led by Selvin was part of a larger Hopkins-led clinical trial published this spring. The main trial found that the DASH4D diet lowered blood pressure among individuals with type 2 diabetes. Of the 89 people who were completed, of the 89 people who completed the DASH4D CGM study, 67% were female and 88% were African American. Trained staff prepared meals, eventually totaling more than 40,000, for participants at its central testing site during the 2021-2024 study period. Each participant spent, in a random order, 5 weeks on a low-sodium DASH4D diet, 5 weeks on a high-sodium DASH4D diet, and 5 weeks each on low-sodium and high-sodium standard diets. Sodium levels differed in order to test the effects of sodium on hypertension. Participants wore CGM devices during weeks 3 and 4 in every 5 week diet period. All the diets had the same number of calories. This trial design is what we call a crossover design. We compared participants with themselves under different diet conditions, which reduced inter-individual variability and enhanced statistical power, allowing us to detect meaningful treatment effects despite what might initially appear to be small sample size, Selvin says. For participants on the DASH4D diet, blood glucose levels also were less variable generally and did not enter the hypoglycemic range any more often than for the standard diets. We are encouraged by these results and believe this can make a major impact on population health, says Fang. The DASH4D diet was specifically designed to be sustainable and easy to follow. Brittle diabetes, from the Cleveland Clinic. Brittle diabetes is a term healthcare providers may use to describe diabetes that's especially difficult to manage. It causes severe swings in blood sugar levels that often result in hospitalizations. Brittle diabetes has several possible causes, and its treatment largely depends on the cause. What is brittle diabetes? Brittle diabetes is diabetes that's especially difficult to manage and often disrupts your everyday life. People with brittle diabetes have severe swings in glucose levels. The swings can cause frequent episodes of low blood sugar or hypoglycemia and or high blood sugar or hyperglycemia. These episodes may result in frequent hospitalizations. Cleveland Clinic is a nonprofit academic medical center. Brittle diabetes isn't an official medical diagnosis. It's just a way to describe difficult to manage diabetes. Healthcare providers may also call it labile diabetes or unstable diabetes. Brittle diabetes mainly affects people with type 1 diabetes, but it can affect those with insulin-dependent type 2 diabetes as well. Brittle diabetes often happens due to other physical and/or mental health conditions. There are several possible causes of brittle diabetes. This is because several factors can affect your blood sugar. Blood sugar management is a complex process. Many people with diabetes learn to predict some of these impacts with time and practice. But in the case of brittle diabetes, these issues are often difficult or impossible to predict, leading to glucose swings. In general, the four categories of brittle diabetes causes include coexisting physical health conditions, coexisting mental health conditions, aging and memory loss, lack of access to insulin, and food insecurity. Physical conditions that can lead to frequent episodes of high blood sugar include certain hormonal imbalances like thyrotoxicosis, acromegaly, Cushing syndrome, and pheochromocytoma. Rare congenital lipodystrophies, and systematic infection. These conditions typically cause insulin resistance, which raises blood sugar levels. Physical conditions that can lead to frequent low blood sugar episodes include gastroparesis, untreated Addison's disease, untreated celiac disease, or other conditions that affect how your body absorbs nutrients. Certain medications, like long-term use of corticosteroids, can also lead to brittle diabetes. A variety of mental health conditions can lead to brittle diabetes for different reasons. Examples include severe stress, anxiety, and/or depression. These can negatively affect your ability to self-manage diabetes. Eating disorders like anorexia, bulimia, or an eating disorder that specifically targets people with type 1 diabetes, diabulimia. Substance use disorders, for example, cocaine and other stimulants and opioids typically lead to high blood sugar levels. Alcohol use disorder typically causes frequent low blood sugar episodes. Factitious disorders. People with factitious disorders may intentionally take incorrect insulin doses to manipulate their blood sugar levels. Aging and issues with memory, like mild cognitive impairment or dementia, can negatively affect your ability to self-manage diabetes. You may be more likely to forget to take insulin doses, take too many doses of insulin, confuse insulin types like long-acting and short-acting insulins, inaccurately use diabetes management devices like insulin pumps and continuous glucose monitors or CGMs. These issues can lead to frequent high and/or low blood sugar episodes. A lack of insulin access, typically due to high costs, can lead to rationing insulin. This frequently leads to diabetes-related ketoacidosis, or DKA, and even death. Food insecurity also often leads to blood sugar instability. Food insecurity refers to the uncertain or limited access to adequate and safe foods. It's associated with higher A1C levels in both people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes. People with brittle diabetes experience sudden and frequent changes in glucose levels. The swings lead to frequent low blood sugar and/or high blood sugar. Early symptoms of high blood sugar include increased thirst and/or hunger, frequent urination, headache, blurred vision. Symptoms of long-term high blood sugar include fatigue, weight loss, vaginal yeast infections, skin infections, slow healing cuts, and sores. Long-term and/or severe episodes of low or high blood sugar that people experience with brittle diabetes can lead to certain complications. Low blood sugar complications. If you have frequent low blood sugar or hypoglycemia episodes, you're at risk of developing hypoglycemia unawareness. This happens when you don't experience symptoms of low blood sugar because your body is used to having low blood sugar. If you have hypoglycemia unawareness, you're more likely to have severe episodes and need medical help. Severe hypoglycemia is life-threatening. In rare cases, it can result in a coma and/or death if it isn't treated. High blood sugar complications. untreated high blood sugar can lead to diabetes-related ketoacidosis, or DKA, an acute, sudden, and severe complication of diabetes. Symptoms include nausea and vomiting, dehydration, abdominal pain, fruity-smelling breath, deep labored breathing or hyperventilation, rapid heartbeat, confusion and disorientation, loss of consciousness. Frequent high blood sugar episodes over time also increase your risk for diabetes complications like retinopathy, nephropathy, neuropathy, gastroparesis, heart disease, and stroke. Brittle diabetes isn't an official medical diagnosis, so there isn't a formal diagnosis process. Your healthcare provider's main concern will be finding the underlying cause of frequent glucose level swings. To do this, your healthcare provider may ask you several questions about your diabetes management. They will thoroughly analyze the trend in your glucose levels. They'll also do a physical exam and may recommend certain tests, like blood tests, imaging tests, and psychological evaluations. The treatment for brittle diabetes largely depends on the underlying cause. For example, treating celiac disease with a strict gluten-free eating plan can resolve frequent low blood sugar episodes. Treating thyrotoxicosis with medication or thyroid surgery can resolve frequent high blood sugar episodes. Other causes like gastroparesis, substance use disorders, and dementia, for example, may be more difficult to treat or manage. In general, your healthcare provider may recommend the following strategies to better manage brittle diabetes. Using a continuous glucose monitoring or CGM device that can alert you when you have high or low glucose levels. Doing more frequent manual blood sugar checks. Having a service dog called a diabetes alert dog that's specially trained to alert you when you have low in blood sugar, high blood sugar. Seeing a mental health professional, like a psychologist, to help you manage mental health concerns that affect diabetes management. Relying on loved ones or at-home nurses' aides to help you manage your diabetes. Working with a social worker to find solutions to a lack of insulin access and food insecurity. Using an insulin pump for more precise insulin dosing and adjustments. In severe cases of brittle diabetes in which the underlying cause isn't manageable, you may be eligible to receive a pancreas transplant. This typically allows you to no longer even have diabetes. What is the outlook for brittle diabetes? Brittle diabetes often leads to frequent hospitalizations for severe low blood sugar and/or DKA. It can also result in low quality of life, long-term diabetes complications, issues maintaining employment, strain on relationships, issues with becoming pregnant or maintaining a pregnancy. If you have brittle diabetes, it's crucial to see your healthcare provider regularly to figure out strategies to best manage your blood sugar levels. With proper treatment, diabetes technology, and support, many cases of brittle diabetes are manageable. There are many possible causes and severity levels of brittle diabetes, so researchers don't know how much brittle diabetes affects life expectancy. But because it's associated with an increased likelihood of long-term diabetes complications, it may lower your life expectancy. In addition, left untreated severe low blood sugar and DKA are fatal. It's important to get care right away if you have these conditions. Brittle diabetes isn't always preventable, but one of the best things you can do to try to prevent it is to see your healthcare providers regularly, including your endocrinologist and your primary care physician or your PCP. This allows you to stay up to date on your diabetes management, which will change over time, and your overall health. It's crucial to see your healthcare providers regularly if you have brittle diabetes, especially if you have a chronic coexisting condition that causes the blood sugar swings. If you notice significant changes in your blood sugar levels, see your provider. If you have signs of DKA, go to the nearest emergency room. If you have severe low blood sugar, call 911 or your local emergency service number. A note from Cleveland Clinic. Brittle diabetes happens when other conditions or situations make diabetes extra challenging to manage. Having brittle diabetes is not your fault, but there are steps you can take to better manage it, like seeing your healthcare provider regularly and following your diabetes management plan closely. You'll likely need to lean on loved ones for support as well. Natural trans fats in dairy not linked to increased heart disease or diabetes risk. From Medical News. Trans fats are a type of unsaturated fat that can occur naturally in foods from ruminant animals such as cows, sheep, and goats, or can be created artificially during food manufacturing and are often present in some processed and fried foods. Naturally occurring trans fats, however, are found in smaller amounts in dairy products and some meats, and researchers have debated whether they have the same harmful effects as industrial trans fats, or may even have neutral or beneficial metabolic effects. Now, a new analysis adds to growing evidence suggesting that naturally occurring trans fats may not carry the same cardiovascular risks. The findings published in Nutrition Research found no clear link between dairy-derived trans fat and increased risk of heart disease, stroke, cardiovascular death, or type 2 diabetes. The research team reviewed evidence from 22 studies involving participants from Europe, Canada, and the United States. First, they reviewed 10 controlled dietary trials in which participants consumed dairy products with naturally elevated trans fat levels, then measured the effect on blood lipid biomarkers, which can help determine heart disease risk. Across the trials, participants consumed between 1.3 and 13.2 grams of dairy trans fat daily. The analysis found no meaningful differences in cholesterol or other blood lipid markers when compared with regular dairy consumption. The team also reviewed 12 long-term observational studies that followed thousands of participants for years, in some cases more than 20 years. These studies measured levels of dairy-derived trans fats in the bloodstream and tracked health outcomes over time. Again, the studies found no association between higher levels of dairy trans fat and increased risk of heart disease, stroke, cardiovascular death, or type 2 diabetes. Michelle Rothenstein, MSRD, CDCES, CDN, a cardiology dietitian and owner of Entirely Nourished, who was not involved in the study, was not surprised by the study findings. I was not surprised by these findings because previous research has shown that handmade trans fat behaves differently in the body than trans fats that naturally occur in dairy foods. We also have previous research suggesting that dairy foods have a pretty neutral effect on cardiovascular health, Rothenstein told us. What is important to differentiate in this study is that it looked specifically at blood markers of dairy trans fats and still found no meaningful association with cardiovascular disease risk. Although awareness around trans fats has increased significantly over the past two decades, particularly following global campaigns from the World Health Organization, confusion remains over the difference between industrial and naturally occurring forms. Ian Gibbons, PhD, DFD, one of the study's lead authors and professor of nutrition at the University of Reading, told Medical News Today that many people still have misconceptions about dairy-derived trans fats, not knowing that, broadly speaking, there are two types. Gibbons hopes the findings help clarify the differences between natural and artificial trans fats, which differ slightly in structure. I think that not all trans fatty acids are the same health-wise. Broadly, there are those industrially produced and those naturally produced by the microbes in an animal's digestive system, he explained. Trans fatty acids are defined as unsaturated fatty acids that contain a double bond in the so-called trans conformation. If the hydrogen atoms bonded to each of the carbons in this double bond are on the same side, this is called cis, or generally natural, the researcher detailed. If the two hydrogens are on opposite sides, this is called trans, industrial and natural. But natural trans differ from industrial mainly by the position of the double bond in the fatty acid chain. The researchers also add that the findings could also influence future food labeling policies, which often do not distinguish between industrial and naturally occurring trans fats. Put simply, the limits imposed on dietary trans fat intake should be only based on the amounts of industrial trans, not the total trans. There are now quick ways of identifying which are which, Givens emphasized. Although the findings may ease concerns around trans fats present in dairy products, it is still advisable to focus on overall dietary patterns rather than single nutrients. Dietary guidance continues to encourage limiting industrial trans fats while consuming dairy in moderation as part of a balanced diet. The current dietary guidelines for Americans advises 3 servings of dairy per day as part of a 2,000 calorie dietary pattern, adjusting as necessary depending on individual caloric requirements. Additionally, the researchers note that dairy products contain a complex mix of nutrients, including calcium, protein, and saturated fats, meaning their health effects cannot be explained by trans fat content alone. While this review highlights the differences between natural and artificial trans fats, further research is still necessary to fully understand how naturally occurring trans fats interact with metabolism and cardiovascular health. If someone tolerates dairy well and enjoys it, it can fit into a heart-healthy diet when it complements an overall eating pattern rich in vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. If someone chooses to avoid dairy for ethical reasons, allergies, intolerances, or personal preferences, that is perfectly okay. Dairy is not recommended for a heart-healthy diet. The key is ensuring they obtain the nutrients commonly provided by dairy, such as protein, calcium, potassium, and vitamin D, from other foods they tolerate and enjoy while maintaining a heart-healthy eating pattern. When choosing dairy products, try to focus on minimally processed options, such as plain yogurt, milk, and cheese, while limiting dairy high in added sugar or sodium. The full dietary pattern matters most since dairy is just one component of an overall eating pattern, and its impact on health depends on what it is replacing and what the rest of the diet looks like. An avocado a day may help control blood sugar, study claims, from the Medical News. Avocados are packed with nutrients and have many potential health benefits, including for heart, bone, and digestive health. Glycemic load has to do with how specific amounts of specific foods influence blood sugar. As noted in the current study, diets with lower glycemic load may help with diabetes prevention, as well as decrease risk for certain cancers and all-cause mortality. The study confirmed that eating a daily avocado helped to lower dietary glycemic load, pointing to another potential health benefit of avocados. This particular study was a secondary analysis of another trial called the Habitual Diet and Avocado Trial. This trial divided participants into 2 groups, with one group consuming a large avocado each day and the other group following their normal diet. However, the control group was also instructed to have 2 or fewer avocados each month. This intervention lasted for 6 months. Participants all had an elevated waist circumference and were 25 years old or older. Aside from the avocado intervention, with avocados provided, researchers instructed participants to continue their normal lifestyle and diet. The avocado group did have a higher level of certain nutrients in their diets, like fiber and total fat, but also consumed lower amounts of animal protein. Carbohydrates also made up less of their energy intake. Throughout the intervention, researchers conducted dietary recalls. Based on data from three 24-hour dietary recalls, researchers averaged participants' daily glycemic index and glycemic load. Glycemic index considers how blood sugar increases after eating a food in comparison to a reference food like sugar. The final analysis included a total of 961 participants, which excluded participants with missing data. Researchers adjusted for various factors in their analysis, including body mass index, education level, and ethnicity. The findings showed a distinct benefit for the avocado intervention group. This group had lower dietary glycemic load compared to the control group, even though glycemic index measurements were about the same. When looking at how certain food groups contributed to glycemic load, the major difference between the two groups was the avocados. Emily Lance, PhD, a nutritionist at UTMB, who was not involved in this research, noted that in this study, consuming a single avocado once a day lowered the overall glycemic load. It highlights that making simple choices to regularly include healthy foods may make a difference on health. The study authors note that avocados contain a high amount of fiber, and the boost in fiber consumption could be part of the reason that participants experienced a lower dietary glycemic load. Another reason for the lower glycemic load could also be the fat present in avocados. The funding for the study came from the Haas Avocado Board, though this group was not involved in collecting the data or in writing the study. Since this is a secondary analysis, any limitations from the original trial are worth considering. For example, the principal investigator of the original trial could exclude participants based on their judgment, which could introduce possible bias. Furthermore, researchers evaluated diet based on participant recall, which could be inaccurate, and certain covariate data was also based on participant reporting. Another consideration is the sample group. For example, 73% of the group was female, over half were white, and the group also included only overweight or obese individuals. More research in other groups may be helpful, and there should be caution in generalizing the results. Researchers note that glycemic index and glycemic load also have limitations, including certain variations that can happen. It is possible that researchers did not account for additional factors that could have contributed to the results. It's also worth considering that the benefits don't necessarily come from consuming avocados, but rather thanks to a conjunction of factors, which the authors do indeed discuss. The study authors do note that while it didn't reach a level of statistical significance, the avocado group saw a decrease in the amount that dairy, sweets, and desserts contributed to glycemic load. This suggests a change in the source of participants' carbohydrate consumption. The authors suggest that the lower dietary glycemic load could partly be explained by a lower intake of carbohydrates in the intervention group and how avocados may limit the total number of carbohydrates available in participants' diets. Registered dietitian Karen Z. Berg, MSCDN, who was not involved in the research, also noted the following to Medical News Today. Avocados are a nutrient-dense food that have many health benefits. They are high in calories, monounsaturated fats, and fiber. Avocados are very filling, so when people eat more avocados, they are likely eating less of other foods that are possibly less healthy. This could be why this study has such positive outcomes. Overall, the research suggests another potential benefit that avocados may have to offer. The study authors suggest that eating avocados could help with people's dietary patterns. Researchers also note that the intervention was simple, making it something that could be realistically maintained. This doesn't necessarily mean that there will be major changes to dietary recommendations, Lance noted. The researchers calculated glycemic load, or GL, and glycemic index, or GI, which are estimates of how blood sugar goes up after a meal based on the amount and quality of carbohydrate in a meal. Lower glycemic load and glycemic index have been associated with better weight loss outcomes and blood sugar control in diabetics. However, the overall evidence is not strong enough for low GI GL foods to be part of national recommendations for lifestyle modifications. Overall, people who want to incorporate avocados more into their daily diets can work with professionals like nutrition experts to get appropriate guidance. They can discuss possible benefits and how avocados can be part of a healthy diet that incorporates other essential components as well. How eliminating sugar may alter the gut microbiome. Mouse study from Medical News. Many people who start a new diet reduce or eliminate sugary foods and beverages to improve their health. Some eating plans, such as the carnivore diet, remove nearly all dietary sources of sugar and carbohydrates. However, a new study in mice suggests that completely eliminating sucrose, commonly known as table sugar, from a low-fat diet may have negative effects on gut and metabolic health. Researchers fed mice a sucrose-free, low-fat diet for 16 weeks and found they developed impaired glucose control and experienced significant changes in their gut microbiome compared with mice fed a low-fat diet containing sugar. The researchers presented their findings at ENDO 2026, the annual meeting of the Endocrine Society. These findings are yet to undergo peer review. Sugar can be found in many foods and may be present naturally, such as in fruits, or it may be added, such as in soda or candy. Excess added sugar consumption has been linked to obesity, type 2 diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, leading many people who want to improve their health to try low-sugar or sugar-free diets. In the new study, researchers looked into the effects of a sugar-free, low-fat diet in mice. The researchers divided 12 healthy mice of similar weight into two groups. The control group consumed a low-fat diet containing sugar, while the other ate a sugar-free, low-fat diet. Both groups received similar calorie amounts to rule out differences in food amounts contributing to findings. Over the study period, the researchers tracked multiple markers of metabolic health, gut health, and inflammation. They wanted to see how the mice processed glucose and responded to insulin, and also how the composition of each group's gut bacteria changed over time. At the end of the study, body and liver weights remained similar between the two groups. Despite no differences in weight gain or calorie intake, mice on the sugar-free diet showed signs of worsening metabolic health. This group of mice showed evidence of impaired glucose tolerance and reduced insulin sensitivity, both of which are linked to an increased risk of type 2 diabetes. The researchers also observed significant changes in hormones involved in metabolism and appetite regulation, as well as lower fasting insulin levels. One notable finding of the study involved changes in the gut microbiome and inflammation in the sugar-free mice. The researchers found lower levels of several beneficial bacteria that help support gut health and regulate inflammation. Additionally, they noted an increase in bacteria linked to inflammatory conditions, which was accompanied by signs of inflammation in the colon. Another concerning change the researchers noted in the sugar-free mouse group was that they developed signs of fatty liver disease and liver inflammation. While more research is needed to determine whether these findings apply to humans, the results suggest that eliminating sucrose from a low-fat diet may alter the gut microbiome and affect metabolic health, highlighting the importance of overall dietary balance. Mir Ali, MD, bariatric surgeon, bariatric medicine specialist, and medical director of Memorial Care Surgical Weight Loss Center, spoke with Medical News Today about the study. "I was surprised to see this result, as reducing carbohydrate and sugar intake is the mainstay of a number of successful weight loss strategies," Ali, who was not involved in this research, said. He noted that a large body of research supports the health benefits of reducing added sugar intake and cautioned against over-interpreting the findings. "Overall, I think the positive benefits outweigh the positive negative effects," Ali offered. Ali mentioned that further studies need to focus on humans to see whether these results carry over. He also discussed the strategy he suggests for his patients who are trying to lose weight. "What I recommend to my patients on a weight loss journey is that they should emphasize protein and vegetables in the diet and reduce carbohydrates and sugars," Ali told us. "There's enough evidence to support that this is better for burning fat and overall metabolic health." Neoma Oparaji, MD, a Houston-based physician specializing in lifestyle medicine and obesity medicine, likewise not involved in this research, shared her thoughts on the study with MNT. "The study is intriguing because it challenges the oversimplified idea that removing sugar is automatically beneficial," Oparaji said. She added that the caveat that the study should not be interpreted to mean that sugar is healthy, but that nutrition is more complex and nuanced than removing a single ingredient. Oparaji noted that changes in the gut microbiome may be one of the study's most important findings because gut bacteria regulates glucose metabolism, insulin sensitivity, and inflammation. "The biggest takeaway is not to focus on a single nutrient or single study. Healthy eating is about overall dietary patterns, not a single ingredient." Understanding what affects your blood glucose levels, from the American Diabetes Association. "The food you eat, your physical activity, and the medications you take all impact your blood glucose levels. These are also parts of your diabetes treatment plan, which should be created with your doctor and the rest of your healthcare team. This plan should include monitoring your blood glucose levels. Talk to your doctor about the best way to check them and how often to check. An eating plan. Talk to your registered dietitian nutritionist, or RDN, about creating an eating plan that works with your needs and will help you reach your goals. Physical activity. Talk to your healthcare team about how to stay active. Aim for 150 minutes of physical activity each week. Medications. Work with your doctor to learn which medications will work for your health goals. Folks, that is all the time we have left today. On behalf of the Talking Information Center, this is Vicki. Thank you so very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note. Some birds have always called nocturnally, such as nightjars, mockingbirds, and owls. But other species are relative newcomers to the nighttime music scene, especially in urban areas. In cities in the U.S., some American robins put on a show long before sunrise. Researchers are studying why certain songbirds sing nocturnally in cities. Some studies suggest that artificial lighting from street lamps and buildings could lead birds to treat the night like the day. However, some experiments with artificial lights showed no effect on singing behavior. For some birds, it seems that noise is an important factor. A study in the United Kingdom found that European robins in noisier environments tend to sing at night. The finding suggests that these robins experience nighttime as the best time to have their voice heard by potential mates and rivals after the day's hustle and bustle. Whatever the cause, birds singing at night are one more thing, like rumbling trains and passing cars, that city dwellers learn to sleep through. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Did you know you can listen to Bird Note in your podcast app? Subscribe to Bird Note Daily and never miss an episode.
Would you like to hear news from Shrewsbury, Northborough, Southborough, and Westborough that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune in to Audio Journal every Tuesday at 4 p.m.